Fed chief says the economy's on track.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good day to you from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke told a House committee today that all signs point to a continued, albeit lackluster, recovery. He's continued to worry about the struggling housing and job markets, and he mentioned European debt and how it'll have, his words, only a modest impact on our economy. But he's also honed in on government spending.
The federal budget appears to be on an unsustainable path. Among the primary forces putting upward pressure on the deficit is the aging of the U.S. population, as the number of people expected to be working and paying taxes into various programs is rising more slowly than the number of people projected to receive benefits.
Now, toward that end, the Obama administration has ordered departments and agencies to look for their lowest performing programs. The goal is to trim 5% from the budget by the year 2012. From Washington, here's Marketplace's John Dimsdale.
Instead of imposing budget cuts from the top down, White House officials want agencies to come up with their own ideas for trimming the fat. Maya McGinnis of the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget says it's a good idea to turn to the folks on the front lines.
They know the programs the best. They have the hands-on experience with them, and I think they'll come up with an awful lot of good ideas of programs that are outdated, inefficient, and really don't need to be there anymore.
The president's budget director hopes to see a lot of wasteful duplication on the chopping block. For example, the 40 programs to promote job training. But Howard Rosen with the Trade Adjustment Assistance Coalition, which advocates for worker retraining, says you're not going to balance the budget by going after small programs.
The reason they're small is because they don't have a very loud constituency, and so it's very easy to cut these programs.
The inspiration for making agencies cut the budget came from the Defense Department, which has turned to the military bureaucracy to identify savings. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Let's check numbers. Yeah, markets are up right now. The NASDAQ higher by about 0.75%. Same for the S&P 500. And the Dow now up 53 points, about 0.5% at 99.93. Markets are higher in Europe as well, more than 0.5%. The Chinese benchmark gained nearly 3% today. The government there said exports were up last month, but that also sent oil prices higher. Fewer than 1 in 10 Haitians had ever used a commercial bank before the catastrophic earthquake. It wiped out a third of the country's ATMs. So how then do you deliver cash in a country so devastated? Some people think the mobile phone is the answer. Today, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the United States Agency for International Development will announce a $10 million fund to encourage mobile phone payments in Haiti. Bob Christen oversees finance and banking projects for the Gates Foundation, and he's with us from Seattle. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
How can mobile phones help in this situation?
Well, what happens is you connect a series of little mom-and-pop stores or post offices or lottery outlets by mobile phone into a network that allows you to send money back and forth from one place to another.
Now, Haiti was technologically deprived before the earthquake. How can you possibly encourage such development right now?
Well, the mobile phone companies got up and running pretty quickly after the earthquake. The real science to this is to actually develop the agent networks, which is to get all the mom-and-pop stores or post offices or these retail outlets of any sort that are in the communities where people live and work all tied together and communicated. That's the real challenge. The technology is actually not so difficult.
In some poor countries, they've just skipped landline phones. I mean, they rely on mobile phones as the primary phone network. Could this happen in banking in places such as Haiti?
Yeah, we think so. There are so many countries in the world that really don't have very much banking infrastructure, particularly in the communities where most people live and work. We actually think that what's going to happen is you're much more likely to get in places like Congo and southern Sudan, so many countries in the world, this kind of banking outside of bank branches well before you're going to get the building out of what we would consider to be traditional bank branches.
Bob Christen from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation with us from Seattle. Bob, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Marketplace is supported by Vanguard, a client-owned company where the clients own the funds and the funds own the company. Learn more at Vanguard.com.
Lots been made about South Africa and its preparations for the World Cup. But what about the rest of the continent? The BBC's Steve Evans is traveling across Africa and made a stop in Ivory Coast, a place where business is hampered by daily roadblocks. He's with us now from Nigeria. Hi, Steve.
Hello.
What are they stopping people for?
They stop people pretty well for anything. They can ask you for whatever your papers are. They can ask you for a yellow fever certificate. Now, I'm in Nigeria at the moment. Strangely enough, the cops carry golf clubs, because if you don't stop at the roadblock, they smash your windscreen.
How difficult does that make the trip then to go across the continent?
Well, it makes it very difficult indeed. There's an organization here called Trade Hub, which is partly financed by USAID, actually, by the US taxpayer. And it estimates that a journey that, I don't know, Chicago to Newark, for example, that in this part of the world with a truck can take something like 2 weeks. So it pumps up the whole cost of development.
So I can't imagine, Steve, that people are happy about these roadblocks, and certainly not business people who are thinking about trying to make money there, right?
Oh, business is very unhappy, no doubt about that. They just think it's a tax. If you look at something like cashew nuts, they reckon that the roadblocks, $5 here, $10 there, there was so much of it that that was completely wiping out the profit from that journey. I talked to a guy called Jean-Louis Billon, who's one of the big entrepreneurs in Ivory Coast.
A business like cashew nuts couldn't function just because of roadblocks and corruption.
So those journeys stopped, and you can see that as a direct impact on people's lives.
The BBC's Steve Evans joining us from Nigeria. Steve, thank you.
You're welcome.
And finally, a new study says there's a battle of the sexes, all right, a battle of sickness. Research collected for financial firm Engage Mutual surveyed 3,000 people in the UK. It says women are more likely to go into detail about symptoms day after day and stay home from work. Men are more likely to go to work while they're sick, yet embellish their symptoms and pull the sympathy card. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.